Ever feel like the software that runs our world is, I don't know, held together with like duct tape and prayers?
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Turns out we might not be too far off. Today's deep dive, a potentially revolutionary, and I mean revolutionary take on software engineering. We're going deep on some research that claims most of what we think about software components, the bedrock of software, is, well, pseudoscientific hokum.
Yeah, you read that right. Pseudoscientific hokum.
Strong words, and luckily for you, we're going to break it all down.
That's right. We're diving headfirst into this bold claim, tracing its historical parallels. Think Copernicus here, and maybe, just maybe, get a glimpse into the future of how we build the tech that, well, runs our world.
Okay, so this researcher doesn't pull any punches. They compare the current state of software engineering to, get this, the geocentric model of the universe.
You know, that old idea that the Earth was the center of everything? Talk about outdated.
Exactly. And they're saying there's a software crisis costing us trillions because we're building on, well, fundamentally flawed ideas.
It is a pretty bold claim to compare anything to the shift from geocentrism to heliocentrism. I mean, you know, scientific revolutions, right? They're impactful, but they're also rigorously debated, and they take a long time to, you know, be accepted.
They don't happen overnight, for sure.
Right. So I think we need to, like, carefully unpack this researcher's reasoning and evidence.
Yeah, no, for sure. So they argue that the core concepts of software components, which again are like the building blocks of everything in the software world, are based on these assumptions that, according to them, just don't hold up.
And they really don't mince words. Like, pseudoscientific hokum is a pretty loaded
It's
term.
a doozy. So what are they really trying to say here? Give us an example.
So think of it this way. One of their big critiques is about the assumption that you can totally, like, completely isolate software components, that you can prevent them from affecting each other in these unexpected, weird ways.
Okay, I'm already nervous.
It's like, imagine building a tower, but with Legos, right? And even the slightest breeze could make the whole thing collapse because those Lego bricks weren't, you know, they weren't designed to interlock as securely as, well, as we thought.
Oh man, now I'm picturing Lego towers toppling over. Okay, so I think I see why this researcher is concerned. I mean, if those building blocks are unstable, that could lead to some, let's just say, less than ideal software, right?
Exactly. And, you know, buggy software, it's more than just an inconvenience. This researcher is claiming that these flawed assumptions, these flawed ideas about components, they're a major factor in what we call the software crisis.
Okay, right. The software crisis. We hear about it all the time. Projects going way over budget, deadlines missed, software failing left and right. But can you, I don't know, paint a picture for us? What does this actually look like in the real world? What are the consequences of this so-called crisis?
I mean, think about those news stories, right? A software glitch delaying, like, thousands of flights. Or think about, like, a bug in a medical device causing, you know, actual harm. These aren't just technical hiccups. These things have real-world consequences. This software crisis, it's costing the global economy, get this, trillions of dollars every year.
Trillions.
Trillions. Not to mention the impact on safety and security.
So we're not just talking about apps crashing on our phones. It's a lot bigger than that. And this researcher claims to have the solution. They claim to have a fix for all of this.
They do. They call it, are you ready for this, componentology.
Componentology.
It's, well, they're calling it a brand new scientific field.
Right.
It's dedicated to establishing a much more accurate and, frankly, a much more reliable understanding of software components. And get this, they're so confident in this work that they filed for 8 patents related to these new principles.
8 patents. That's serious business. This isn't just some academic theory. They're really putting, skin in the game.
They're going all in.
But here's the thing. If this componentology is so revolutionary, I mean, why haven't we heard more about it? Why aren't all the software engineers out there already using these amazing ideas?
Well, that's where things get, well, interesting, to say the least. Instead of publishing their findings in, you know, the usual academic journals, this researcher has been circulating this, well, a booklet.
A booklet.
A booklet. They're claiming it contains, like, conclusive proof of their claims. It outlines, you know, supposedly the core principles of componentology.
Okay, that's an interesting approach, to put it mildly. It's
Yeah.
like they've found this like secret room in the house of software engineering, and they're just waiting for someone to, stumble upon it.
Exactly. They're practically daring us to disprove them.
So we've got this like mysterious booklet, right? This booklet that supposedly holds the keys to a software revolution.
I know. It sounds like we're in the middle of some kind of like Dan Brown novel or something.
Right. Like Da Vinci Code, but for software engineers.
Exactly.
Okay. But okay. Let's, you know, let's put those conspiracy theories on the back burner for a second and just let's just entertain this idea, right? Let's say for argument's sake, this researcher is onto something huge. What would a world transformed by componentology even look like? I mean, paint us a picture.
Okay, well, for starters, imagine software that's not so buggy. You know, think about it. Fewer error messages, fewer crashes, fewer of those moments where you just want to throw your computer out the window.
I mean, sign me up for that.
Right. And it's not just about the little things. Think bigger picture. Projects are delivered on time, within budget, because this whole software crisis thing, it's a thing of the past.
Okay, that sounds pretty utopian, I'm not going to lie. But this researcher is, like, really going for it. They're comparing this to, like, historic scientific revolutions. I mean, we're talking about stuff like, you know, the shift from thinking the Earth is the center of the universe to understanding, no, it's the sun, or, like, figuring out germs cause diseases. Isn't that a little bit of a stretch?
It's definitely a bold comparison, I'll give them that. But think about it this way. Understanding germs, right? That revolutionized medicine. It changed how we think about sanitation, public health. So understanding these software components at a much deeper level, that could have, you know, ripple effects throughout the digital world.
Okay, I see the parallel now. But what exactly is different about this componentology thing? Like, what's the secret sauce? What are the core principles that make it so revolutionary?
Honestly, that's the million-dollar question. And unfortunately, the stuff we've seen, the excerpts, they're pretty vague on the details.
So it's like they're playing this game, right?
Kind of, yeah. They want us to do a little bit of intellectual detective work.
All right, well, challenge accepted. What clues do we have? What are the breadcrumbs, you know?
Okay, so we know that their main critique is about this whole interconnected nature of software. They're basically saying we're treating these components too much in isolation. Mm. We're not paying attention to all the ways that they can interact and influence each other.
So it's like, it's not enough to just perfect each individual Lego brick, right? We need to understand how they behave when you actually put them together.
That's a great way to put it. And that seems to be where this componentology comes in. It's not just about new coding techniques. It's a whole new way of thinking about software from the ground up.
Okay, now that is fascinating. But let's be real for a second. Even if this componentology is everything it's cracked up to be, wouldn't a change, this big take, like, decades to actually happen?
That's what you might think, but honestly, history tells us otherwise. When a truly revolutionary idea comes along, things can change incredibly fast.
Okay, I need an example. Give me an example.
Think about the printing press, right? Before Gutenberg, if you wanted a book, someone had to sit there and copy it by hand, painstakingly, page by page. But then, boom, the printing press comes along, and within a few decades, information is spreading like wildfire. It changed everything. Societies, economies, even religions.
Okay, point taken. A new tool can definitely shake things up. So are you saying this componentology could be like the printing press of software?
It's an interesting thought, right? Imagine a world where building good, reliable software, it's not this specialized skill. It's something anyone can do.
So more people could create new software.
Exactly. And that would lead to more innovation, new industries, things we can't even imagine right now.
That's both exciting and kind of terrifying at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And you know that governments and those big tech companies, they're going to be all over this. If this researcher is right, if this is the real deal, we're talking about a total reshuffling of the tech landscape.
This is really making my head spin. I mean, we started with buggy software, and now we're talking about, like, the future of everything.
And that's the beauty of these deep dives. You never know where they're going to lead. We started with this, you know, seemingly small thing, software components, and we've ended up questioning, well, the foundation of how we build the digital world.
Okay, so let's just say, for the sake of argument, that this researcher is right, that this componentology, it's the real deal, a genuine breakthrough.
It's a big if.
I know. But if it is, it kind of blows my mind to think about what that could mean, you know? Like, what kind of future could we unlock if we're not limited by the way, we're building software now.
Well, I mean, think about it. Right now, we're hitting these walls, right? Mm-hmm. Like, projects take forever, security is always a nightmare, costs spiral out of control. But what if those aren't, you know, inherent limits? What if it's just that our tools, our understanding are still, well, primitive.
So you're saying this componentology thing, it could like completely change our perception of what's even possible with software.
Exactly. I mean, imagine developing life-changing software in weeks instead of years. Or personalized medicine that relies on these insanely complex but rock-solid programs analyzing your DNA. Or what if, like, the line between the physical world and the digital world, it just blurs, not because of some clunky VR headset, but because the software is so good, so seamlessly integrated that it can actually augment our senses.
I mean, that's not just like faster phones or better video games. We're talking about a completely different level of innovation here.
Right. A fundamental shift in how we interact with technology and what it can do. And who knows? I mean, think about it this way. When the microscope was invented, it opened up this whole new world, right? Microbiology. We had no idea it even existed.
So you're saying componentology could be like the microscope of software?
It's possible. It could be the tool that unlocks all these possibilities we can't even imagine right now. New fields, new industries, a completely different future.
This is incredible. We started with buggy software, and now we're, I don't know, we're talking about the future of humanity. But I think we've also hit a bit of a wall, haven't we? We need more information about this componentology thing to really wrap our heads around it.
Yeah, the researcher definitely chose an interesting way to release this information. Circulating a booklet. That's a bold move.
It's like they want to spark a conversation, right?
Absolutely. They're not just throwing information out there. They want people to engage, to think critically, to maybe even, you know, join the search for answers.
So where do we go from here? I mean, if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, okay, I'm intrigued, I want to learn more, what should they do? How can they, you know, be a part of this?
Well, finding that booklet would be a good start, wouldn't it? We don't know all the details, but we know it's out there somewhere. Maybe some of our listeners have even come across it.
Right. So, listeners, if you have any information about this componentology thing, if you've seen the booklet, please reach out to us, our website, social media, whatever's easiest. We need your help to, you know, crack this case. This is a conversation that we need to have. And who knows, maybe we can even get our hands on a copy of this mysterious booklet. We can do a whole other deep dive.
I'm in.
But until then, I think, you know, even just thinking about this, it's a good reminder that sometimes, even in a field as technical as software engineering, the biggest breakthroughs come from, you know, questioning everything, from asking, what if everything we thought we knew was wrong?
It definitely makes you think.
It does. And on that note, that's it for today's deep dive. We'll see you next time.